America behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I am Ben Scott. Scott. You know, we love race cars on this show.
We do.
Just speed demons, of course.
So do our listeners.
Yes. Yes, our listeners do. Maybe even as much as we do.
Probably.
So I guess that's why our listeners probably already know that the vehicle we're talking about today, the KTM Crossbow, is pronounced Crossbow.
Yeah, probably. I bet there are a few people out there that still say the KTM Expo.
Yes, which is, you know, it makes sense that people would think that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things. This is only the first thing about this vehicle that is not quite what you'd expect.
Yeah, confounding, isn't it?
Confounding, that's good.
Yeah, sure. No, there's a lot about this car that you wouldn't expect, really. If you haven't, you know, checked this car out already, then please, by all means, do a quick Google search, rather, and you'll find a KTM Crossbow. That's X-BOW. And you'll see page after page after page of what looks like a track car, really.
Yes.
And essentially, to this point, it has been a track car.
Open. I mean, it's got the open driver's seat, and or the whole area is open.
Yeah.
The whole
I mean, in one way, here in the States, to this point, it's been a track car.
Yeah.
It across the pond in Europe and Asia, mm-hmm. It has been a street vehicle. It's been allowed on the street, but also more or less ready for the track, really.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's do like just a couple of quick stats to get on the same page with our folks here.
Mm-hmm.
So the Crossbow can do 240 horsepower. Is that right?
240 horsepower.
That's
right.
What I've got
from an Audi 2-liter engine.
Now, this doesn't really, to a lot of racing fans, track car experts, this doesn't sound like that much.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another thing that comes in here, and that's the weight.
That's right.
Or the lack thereof.
The lack of weight. That's probably the better way to say mm-hmm. it, really. Because when you look at the Crossbow, it reminds me in a way, just in a slight way, of the Ariel Atom. And if you know the Ariel Atom, you know that that vehicle – completely devoid of any body panels, really, to speak of.
Not the safest ride.
There's a couple. You know, there's little plastic pieces here and there, carbon fiber, whatever. That's the same with the Crossbow. And the weight, I mean, it's a dramatically low-weight vehicle. It's 790 kilograms. You know what that translates to?
No. Could you do that for
1,742 pounds. That's it. That sounds like a lot of weight. That's very, very light for a vehicle, a two-seater vehicle with 2 liters of horsepower. 2 liters of engine, really. 240 horsepower. The thing about this thing, though, is, and this is one tremendous plus for this thing, is the downforce that it produces. Because, you know, it has this lightweight. You would think that maybe it would be apt to slide on the track or on the street, wherever.
Lose some control.
It produces an incredible amount of downforce. An additional 200 kilograms of downforce, which is about 440 pounds of downforce. That's, you know, aerodynamic downforce at speed. You know, that's the pressure that it puts on the ground. In addition to its weight. That allows it to corner incredibly hard. I mean, this thing has, and I saw two numbers here. One was 1.5 G. That's lateral speed, lateral acceleration. So that's how hard it can corner.
Mm-hmm.
Another number was 1.8 Gs, which is, it's above and beyond supercar realm, really.
Yeah.
Or it's right there with it, the top in the world.
It's comparable, yeah.
Actually, I would think it's even better. Even better.
I could see that. I'm not so sure. I want to compare all the numbers.
Yeah, I don't have numbers in front of me, but, this is definitely, a contender on the track.
Mm-hmm. And you can actually buy this. I would say that in comparison to race cars, in the race car world, relatively speaking, this is not an extremely expensive vehicle.
Relatively speaking.
But only relatively speaking.
Yeah, that's right, because I configured one. I went to the site.
Oh, yeah?
And set one up.
What'd you set up?
Not with any intention of putting it in my shopping cart and having it shipped to me, but, I set up the street configuration. Now, that's one thing we need to mention is that there are five different models.
Yes, there,
go ahead and list them off, Ben, if you got
them. Okay, well, let's see. I've got four of them right here. I've got the Crossbow Street, mm-hmm. and that's the that's sort of like the basic version of customization.
Sure.
And then they've got the Club Sport. Now, as I'm naming these, I'm going up in price.
Mm-hmm.
And then going up to the next step up, you've got the Crossbow Super Light. Now, this thing has a lot of carbon parts, and believe me, my friends, you pay for that premium.
Yeah, and you know what? One thing about the Super Light, I got a little note here.
Yeah.
It says Super Light. You know how much it's actually lighter than the Club Sport or the Street version?
Lay it on me.
11 pounds.
Are you serious?
11 pounds. It saves 11 pounds. But, you know, the thing is, it's got a different look to it. It's all carbon fiber. I mean, it's exposed carbon fiber all over it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a meaner look to it.
There's really an aesthetic.
And you know what? There's more to it than just that.
Right.
But it does save 11 pounds in the overall weight. And that's from the company stats.
Yeah. And then we've got the, GT4. Now, this is pitched as the best racing product, right? Now this, like, but hang on, before we go any further.
Yeah.
You said five models.
Yeah, I did. There's another one that's maybe locked away as a secret on the company's own website. Uh-huh. I mean, really, you can find it anywhere. there's a Crossbow ROC or ROC. They mm-hmm. might call it the ROC, but ROC stands for Race of Champions. And this is a very exclusive unit.
Mm-hmm.
There's only going to be 30 of these produced. That's probably why you didn't hear about this one. It's on the company website only, but again, this is one that's got, it's just really a special decal package. It's got, there's more to it than that, of course. There's always suspension upgrades. There's
sure.
interior accoutrements and things like that that, you know, if you can call it really an interior. But, there's, you know, it's just an appearance package mainly, but again, it is a limited production model. So, 30. So it's extremely exclusive, KTM Crossbow, I guess.
And while we're on the subject of exclusivity, I think it's time for us to check this out. Scott, let's say I am a well-heeled European gentleman, car enthusiast, and I want to buy one of these.
Ah, yes.
I can, right?
You can. Sure. You can go to the website and you can configure one. Like I mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I configured a street version, you know, so that's the kind of entry level version.
Right.
Really, I didn't do anything outlandish with it. You know, basic, I don't have a list of what I included in it, but I think it was only about $4,000 worth of extras that I added to it.
Okay.
So nothing outlandish. I mean, like better tires and that type of thing.
So that puts you around.
Yeah, it puts me right around 67,495.6 euros, which is, if you want to do that in US dollars,
yes,
about $93,000.
Mm.
So that's a little bit stiff. $93,000, yeah. But you know what? I mean, this is a car that you could drive on the street. You could drive it on the track. And the thing is that this is – and before anybody says anything about this that, yeah, it's a European-Asian car, they are now bringing it to the United States, and it will be street legal.
Yes. Now, let's go into that, because right now, from what we understand, if you really, really want a Crossbow and you're a Yank – you can get around the fact they won't sell you one directly yet.
It can be had. Now what Ben means by not directly, this is kind of tricky.
This is a little bit weird.
And, I kind of caught this on a site that you may go to, Ben, autoblog.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, autoblog.
They had something that piqued my interest here because, you know, anything with KTM Crossbow usually hits their radar. And the title was KTM Crossbow finally on sale in North America, so I had to click on that.
Yeah.
I had to find out what's going on. Because this is it's an incredible track car, really. And I thought, well, what's going on here? They finally going to make it for the – you know, release it for us to use on the track. And no, it's going to be available that you can use on the street.
Right.
So streetable version. The crazy thing about this is, and just like the Ariel Atom, if you want it to be street legal, you have to build it yourself.
You have to buy it as a kit car.
Yeah. Now, this is maybe not what you think. We talked about this just a few minutes ago, really.
Mm-hmm.
You and I did. According to this article, now what the kit car version means is that you buy kind of like a roller kit, one that's already assembled. So you don't have to worry about every nut and bolt on the thing, but you will be charged with finding the engine for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is going to, rely on, you know, cooperation from Audi or Volkswagen, whoever supplies the engine, you know, the 2-liter Audi engine that you need.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's going to be, you're going to have to get local authority support because it's going to have to be licensed in your state. So you're going to have to do whatever you require, emissions tests, things like that. But, you know, there have been 600 or more requests from American KTM dealers, and KTM being a motorcycle manufacturer.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess this thing is going to end up selling here in the States, and you might likely see one on the road.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you live in a city like we do, you know, if you live in a car city, which usually if you live in a car city, there's some pretty well-to-do car enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Who always give me something awesome to stare at.
Yeah, we'll always see the latest and greatest toys around here. So I'm hoping that sometime soon we'll see one of these on the road.
And, you know, you've got to wonder what it rides like. One thing we should say before we get out is in the some of the videos that you can see of this vehicle online in test drive scenarios and stuff, one thing I noticed that's really cool is there's this electronic display that apparently always says – always ask you, rather, if you are ready to race.
And you answer?
I you know what? I don't know. Because
oh, no, you always answer yes.
Yes.
That's
well,
the answer.
Course.
The answer is always yes.
But what if you're in traffic?
Ah, good point. Good point. Well, I'm sure it has good handling.
You know you what? You just have to make sure somebody's always sitting next to you so you can take the HOV lane.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you know what? You know, this is a pretty recent car. Just a couple of other – more quick points. To make here is that it really hasn't been around that long.
No.
I mean, I guess there must have been quite a clamor for this thing here in the States because it's only been out for a couple of years, really. It made its debut at the Geneva Motor Show in 2007, in March of 2007, and production started in June of 2008. The first customer cars were delivered in August of 2008. So, you know, maybe 2 years, a little more than 2 years at this point. But the company itself, KTM, is probably – better known for its motorcycles.
Right.
They're a company that, well, it started out as a machine shop in the 30s, 1930, 34. And by 1951, they were building motorcycles. Bicycles, mopeds, that type of thing came along later. But the first motorcycle from KTM was in 1951. And they've put out, if you look at a list of KTM motorcycles, it's a long, long list of the models and types they've put out. It's an Austrian company. Mattinghofen is how I think you say the name. I'm not sure exactly, but again, it's mostly known for its off-road motorcycles. So, this vehicle is a departure from the norm for them, but it looks like it's a big seller.
Right. And that's also, that's no small batch of potatoes, I guess, to be able to move to such a different, vehicle. As a manufacturer.
Exactly, and have it accepted so well because, you know, they may try something and it may not work or it may work, but this is seeming to work really well for them. And, you know, it has widespread popularity in Europe, as you may imagine, as a track car and I would guess a street car. I haven't heard much about street versions of these. I've only heard about the track versions of these at this point.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think we'll hear more about, I think we'll hear more from private consumers driving them.
Probably. I mean, just like the Atom. I mean, I've heard very little about it here in the States, even though it is available now. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, as these things become more and more available. Oh, wait, you know what? One quick thing. I don't think we told them where to go if they want to get one.
Oh, yeah. We need to do that because you totally can.
Yeah, you can. If you want to contact somebody here in the United States to get one of these or to at least to get information about getting a kit and putting one together, the company's name is British Racing Group. And just do a search for them and find the British Racing Group, and you'll be able to find out all the information you want. If you want to go to the KTM site, I mean, that's just as simple as KTM.com and find, you know, go to the Crossbow site, go to the configurator and load it up with options or do whatever you want and just take a look at all the photos and information about the series that they race in and, you know, television coverage, history, anything you want there. There's a frequently asked questions page. I get a lot of information from there, but it's an interesting vehicle, and it's definitely worth taking a look at.
And that website for the Crossbow is www.ktm-x-bow.com.
Ah,
very good. Cut straight to it.
Nice catch.
Well, no, I think we're wrapping. I think we're wrapping this one up.
Yeah.
You want to do some listener mail?
Sure.
All right, Scott. So Al writes into us, and he is writing from Connecticut.
Big Al from Connecticut.
Big Al from Connecticut.
I don't know why I always said big before Al.
That's cool. It fits. So Al wrote in to say, I recently listened to your episode on the mobile cinema. Are you aware that GM also had something along those lines in the early 50s, the GMC Futuriner?
Mm-hmm. Designed by Harley Earl.
Yes. And then it's funny because in the email he goes, oh, wait, an episode on Earl, dot, 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 and no mention.
Yeah, I know. You know what? It was on a list of things that he had either worked on or created. It was just a single word. We'd have skipped right over it. My apologies. I think it was a long episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, we get, you know, sometimes we get a little bit starstruck, Al, especially when we're talking about people like Earl or Ford, people who just have so many innovations.
Al is right. That Futuriner is awesome. I mean, if you ever seen the design of the Futuriner, you'd spend a few minutes at least looking at additional photos of it because, you know, it's just such a cool design. It's been restored, or at least maybe it was kept in original condition. I don't know, but it was beautiful, and it went on auction a couple of years ago, I know, and it sold for something like $4 million.
Right, which is no surprise.
Incredible looking vehicle. It's really cool. And Al's completely right. We should have mentioned it in that podcast with Harley Earl. That's where it belonged.
He said that most years the Futuriner is on display at the Eastern States Exposition, a New England state fair. And he said if his memory serves him correctly, he's told it was a promotion vehicle or a traveling stage. But you know what? I agree with you, Scott. Al, I agree with you. We do think those are interesting. And it's funny that I'm actually confused that we didn't mention it.
Well,
you know?
Futuriner is pretty cool. I mean, we should have brought it up, like we said, but some things get lost in the lost in translation. I guess.
Yeah, lost in my paper shuffle.
It was on the notes, but it just didn't make it in.
Yeah. So Al, thanks so much for writing in, and listeners, Al's on to something here. Check out the Futuriner if you want to look at a really awesome, I guess you could say, a sort of a U.S. version. It's closer to the mobile cinema.
Sure.
And just
a really cool Harley Earl design, really.
Yeah.
And if you're into Harley Earl, you want to take a look at the Futuriner.
Ah, he's the man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's leave it there. With Scott and I on our way to head out, we want to pause to ask you guys a question, as we tend to do. Do you have any pioneers of automotive history or breakthrough geniuses of vehicles that you'd like us to cover in an upcoming podcast? If so, then guess what, dude? We want to work with you. So hit us up on Facebook, find us on Twitter, check out our blog and our website. And if you want to cut out the middleman and get at us directly, send us an email at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.